Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria. I'm here with my guest, Deacon Ron Martinez, who is the diocesan coordinator for Engaged Encounter, Pre-Cana, and Focus in the diocese. I'm very glad to have you here.
Thank you very much, Margaret.
Now, I had you here perhaps a couple of years ago when our program first aired, and so it's always nice to get a refresher on the programs, where they're at, and what they're about. So, again, thank you for being with us.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you, in order for us to get to know you a bit better, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, yes. I'm a Catholic deacon. I've been ordained now for almost 5 years. At that particular point, I was asked by then Bishop Carmody to help with the Engage Encounter program for the diocese, and of course, I was very honored and pleased to be able to help in that capacity. My beautiful wife Olivia and I have been married almost 33 years.
Wonderful.
33 wonderful years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We were married on July 5th, 1980, and I always tell people that I lost my independence the day after Independence Day. But that I became interdependent upon my wife the day after Independence Day.
Well, that's very special.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so we've been working together on Engage Encounter and marriage preparation for quite a while now.
Let me ask you, why is marriage preparation important? What attracts you to it? Why do you see the need for marriage preparation? Some people might say, well, I want to get married today, so I'm going to go and do it. They just met the person 2 weeks ago. So why is this important? What are these types of programs?
Well, I love this program because it gives us an opportunity to first and foremost highlight the fact that this is a sacrament. It's the sacrament of holy matrimony. And that it is a vocation that God long time ago decided a man and woman would have an opportunity to excel at. And unfortunately, we see that the statistics have shown recently that we're not doing all that well at excelling. And so my wife and I truly feel a love for this vocation of ours, and we want to do everything that we can to try and help other couples also embrace the sacrament and recognize that their wedding day is just a day, but marriage is for a lifetime.
Wonderful. Okay, so then let's get started. Can you share with me the specifics of Engaged Encounter?
Yes, I can. Engaged Encounter is not only a program that we have in the Diocese of Corpus Christi, it's a national program. In fact, it's an international program that reaches out into 12 other countries besides the United States. And it's designed to give couples an opportunity to get to talk honestly with each other and openly about the things that are important for them to be totally aware of. Many times couples are infatuated with each other. They've decided that they want to get married for physical attributes or something like that, and they leave the essential elements of getting to know each other out of their courtship. And so what we try and do is have them take a pause in their courtship and come join us for a retreat weekend. It's basically a Saturday-Sunday weekend that we arrange for them, and we ask them to share privately, okay, information about their weaknesses and strengths in their relationship as it may relate to a lot of different areas.
What are some of the topics then?
Okay. Well, we ask them, first of all, to share with each other what their ambitions are and what they desire in terms of a lifestyle once they become married. When they come to the sanctuary before the altar of God, we believe, based on Scripture, that two individuals come together and they become one in this sacrament. And so what we want to do is make sure that their expectation beyond the day that they get married matches each other's expectations. And, you know, coming from two different households, being educated in two different ways, what their dreams and ambitions are aren't always the same. And unfortunately, they don't always share those before they get married.
So that can cause tension. We know that we have a high divorce rate, and perhaps one spouse wanted 10 children and the other spouse didn't want any children, and they never discussed that. Or perhaps one spouse wanted to travel the world, the other one wanted to stay in little old Corpus Christi, and so that brings tension. Or one wants to receive an education before they do A, B, or C. And so all of these things need to be discussed before they commit their entire life to each other.
That's right. Oftentimes, they don't consider it an important thing to talk about or topic to talk about, like children. You know, do they plan on having children? How many children would they like to have if it's God's will? What about dual careers? Oftentimes, they've got they're both working. You know, the economy's tough, and so most households have a husband and wife that are working. And so when a career opportunity comes up for one that takes them to Alaska, how are they going to decide whether or not to take that opportunity? It's good for them to talk about whether or not they're mobile or what they would do if some sort of an opportunity were to present itself before they actually enter in a marriage, avoiding problems later because they didn't recognize that one was had an expectation that they might be able to pursue something that the other one didn't like at all.
Okay, so then they're able to communicate during this weekend of some of their ambitions. And I think you also mentioned some of their strengths, weaknesses.
Right. We talk about money. Couples oftentimes have issues with financial matters when they're married. One is fantastic at saving. The other one is not. One is great at paying their bills on time. The other one is not so concerned about that as they are about living for the moment. Many times they also haven't even thought about what their credit ratings are like or whether they'll be in a position to buy a home.
Or what is a credit rating?
Or what is
rating, right? These younger couples, perhaps.
That's right. So we get them to start sharing with each other, if you will, forming them in a direction where they'll have to talk about these kinds of topics. And we can see the looks on their faces as the presenters are talking about specific issues that they experience in their own marriages, whereby they look at each other and they say, oh, you can tell that they're saying, wow, we haven't even talked about that.
The light bulb kind of goes on.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So what happens is the format for Engage Encounter is that we have a junior couple and a senior couple, one that's been married a little longer than the others, talk about these topics from their age group perspective and based on how many years they've been married. And they share some of their trials and tribulations and triumphs as well on these topics. And then we ask the couple to go and to separate from each other and to write a love letter, if you will, to each other that addresses these particular topics that they've just heard about. And then after they've had a period of time apart to write about it, then we bring them together to share. And so they'll exchange their little notebooks and they'll see what each other is thinking on that topic. And it's really exciting to see their reactions as they're having these private discussions.
So I can sense that not only are they building relationship for the relationship amongst themselves, but within a community because you have those junior and senior couples. This is all grounded in Christ and the sacrament of matrimony. So talk to me about that.
Well, we have a beautiful opportunity to talk about Christian tradition and to talk about the sacramentality of marriage. We talk about how our marriages are indissoluble. We ask them to consider that this is not a Sears and Roebuck 90-day money-back guarantee type program, but marriage is for life. Okay, mm-hmm. And so as a part of that, we talk to them about what their relationship with God is today and what their relationship with God and the church would be like after they're married.
Okay.
We ask them to consider being partners and looking for ministries to participate in. We speak to them about the importance of tithing, and we give them an opportunity to share a little bit about how they, in fact, worship. Oftentimes, these couples come together, and one is a very devout churchgoer and very well educated in the faith, and the other is not. And so we see that there's sometimes a growing together in the faith where they bring each other together and actually recognize and worship together. And that's what we want. We want the two of them to feel united and to practice their faith and to become very, very active in their parishes so that they can give back for what it is that they're receiving.
You know, it's so interesting because I'm just really getting excited listening to you. Many people don't realize what's going to happen after they get married and receive the sacrament of matrimony, especially and hopefully since they're not living together prior. And so it can be a shock. And what are some of the things that you hear about after someone's married and they just had no idea what they got into?
Well, you know, we have a lot of couples that will come back to us after they've completed Engage Encounter, been married maybe a year or so, mm-hmm. and they'll come back to us and say, you know, there were some topics that were brought up on that retreat weekend that we thought were like a waste of time. We didn't understand the significance of why y'all were bringing these issues up. And then shortly after we got married, we were faced with these kinds of challenges, and we felt very happy over the fact that we'd actually talked and shared during the Engage Encounter weekend on these particular topics. It saved us a lot of friction.
Heartache.
And heartache, and it really helped us understand what the sacrament of matrimony really is all about.
Wonderful. We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
Catholic Engaged Encounter Weekends are an opportunity for couples preparing for marriage and couples married civilly for less than a year and seeking convalidation to concentrate exclusively on one another, free of tensions, pressures, and the distractions of daily life. These weekends are designed to give couples an opportunity to talk honestly and openly about their future together, to explore weaknesses, strengths, desires, ambitions, goals, education, money, children, family, relationships with God, and so much more. Married couples and a priest will present a series of ideas to be explored. Mass and confession are available as well. The next Engaged Encounter Weekend is set for June 15th and 16th at Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center on Lantana. For complete details, call the Diocese Office of Family Life, 882-6191, or visit diocesecc.org/family-life.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. Again, I'm here with my guest, Deacon Ron Martinez, who is the diocesan coordinator for many premarital programs in the diocese. We spoke about Engaged Encounter, and now I'd like to focus on Pre-Cana. Tell me a little bit about the Pre-Cana retreat.
Okay, great. Well, the Pre-Cana is a one-day marriage preparation program that we have here in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. It's designed for those couples who are engaged to be married. It is one where, as they're preparing for marriage, we want to ensure that there have been some very important topics introduced to them. And so we capitalize on this one-day seminar to be able to do that.
Okay, so what are some of the topics, or what is the procedure? What would people expect when they go to a Pre-Cana?
Well, we bring them in, and we register them, and hand out a number of different materials for them. And we facilitate a number of presentations by bringing in guest couples who've been married for a number of years and are well adept to the topics that we've designed for them. One of the first topics that we have is brought to us by Monsignor Mark Chamberlain. He does a wonderful job of defining what a healthy sacramental relationship is like between a couple.
And what are some of those signs? I'm curious. I'd like to know, and I'd like the listeners to know.
Well, Monsignor has a very, very distinct way of presenting his presentation. And we love having him as our first speaker because he's a great leadoff batter, if you will. He spent some time developing for the couple some expectations of what is, in fact, healthy in a relationship. Oftentimes, when one or both of them has been raised in a environment where there was violence or abuse or something like that, they grow up thinking that a married couple fights and hits each other and cusses at each other and is rude with each other and things like that. And so Monsignor explains to them that God created a woman from the rib of man. Not so that they would use that rib to beat each other over the head, okay?
Yeah.
But to actually recognize that they are one unit, okay?
United, definitely.
United, right? Moving forward in their relationship, a sacramental relationship, in a peaceful, loving way, just like God is always hoping to share his love, that they should always be sharing their love with each other. And so we talk about things that are actually healthy in the relationship. He has a great knack for encouraging hand-holding, for encouraging opening doors, for speaking in a kind manner, for thinking before speaking, whenever there's some sort of issue that needs to be discussed. So he gives them some real-life examples of what, in fact, is healthy in a relationship or in a marriage.
You know, as you're speaking, I just can't help but think about my husband, who is an only child, and myself, who is the oldest of six. You know, I want to be around people. I enjoy being around people. I was always around my brothers and sisters. He was always by himself. And so when you put two of those people together, I didn't understand why he needed his alone time. I didn't care for it. That brought friction. And he's just like, you know, I've been alone all my life. I just need my alone time. Either way, everyone needs their alone time and their downtime. But, you know, so people would talk about things like that then.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And we have another presentation that focuses on the dignity of the person. We define how God created man and woman and how we should always treat each other with dignity and respect. And recognize that God created one for the other, okay, even before we were conceived. And so, if we allow God's will to be done in our relationship, we will, in fact, show each other the dignity and respect and love that God intended for us to share in this beautiful sacrament. So we spend a good amount of time talking about the dignity of the person. We also have our diocesan natural family planning coordinator, Christy Rutledge, come to all the pre-Cana seminars, and she does a wonderful job of discussing natural family planning. She introduces an introductory type presentation where she talks about the various methods that are available, and she provides resources so that those couples who are there might seek out one-on-one training with those that have been certified in the diocese to provide more specific training in natural family planning. Oftentimes, this is the very first time these couples who come to this seminar have actually ever even heard someone explain what NFP or natural family planning is.
They do hear quite often, if you don't want to conceive, use conception. Here's, you know, this type of, you know, there's a variety of contraceptives out there without knowing of all the harmful effects of them. So it's really great. We actually just recently had her as a guest, and it's really great that she's able to then present at these pre-marriage seminars.
Right. There are a lot of myths about natural family planning, and Christy does an excellent job of busting up those myths and speaking very plainly and clearly to them. And again, you see the eyebrows go up. You see them holding hands and looking at each other. And one might be shaking their head one way and one's the other. But she serves as a catalyst for discussion about natural family planning. And too often couples, Catholic couples, get married and haven't a clue. So we enjoy having her present to be a part of our pre-Cana seminar. We bring in others that are financial planners that are experts in personal finance and in budgeting. Oftentimes our couples will come and they've never budgeted as a family. They have no idea what each other clears every payday. They have no idea what kind of debt they're bringing into the marriage. We spoke about credit scores in another talk. But we explain the importance of having good credit and what good credit constitutes, mm-hmm. and what it enables them to do or prevents them from doing.
Exactly. And so then if they don't discuss this, they might end up getting married and then realize the other person has $30,000 in debt,
right.
or a 300, 400 credit rating,
right.
which means no house or no car, things like that.
Right. No great mm-hmm. vacations that they mm-hmm. thought they were going to have every year. Mm-hmm. So it's really an eye-opening experience. And so they get quite a bit out of the personal finance and budgeting presentation that's made. So we're really happy to make that a part of our seminar. But then we bring in a licensed professional counselor or some other folks who are very, very good at talking about open couple communication. Oftentimes, couples will avoid discussing hot-button items because they would like to have peace at any price in their relationship.
The pleaser.
That's right.
Okay.
And then eventually what happens is they grow weary of pleasing and doing things that they really don't want to do, but they never shared their likes or their dislikes. And so before you know it, something that might have been a very small pimple ends up becoming a festering boil in their relationship. And so what we do is we talk to them about the importance of being open and honest with each other and trusting each other, being life-giving and sharing openly what's on their minds so that they can try and resolve issues very early in the conflict rather than very late, sometimes when it's too late.
So then people will hold grudges for days, for years, and then at the moment they feel is right, they'll bring it back. And so I can imagine all of the tension in that type of relationship because they didn't initially know how to communicate their feelings.
That's right.
So then would you say that communication is just one of the biggest things that spouses need to understand to do?
Yes, absolutely. We oftentimes just get upset and walk away. And or we decide we're not going to talk about it today, and then we don't talk about it for months or ever. And oftentimes we can just clear the air with a very simple explanation of what really was on our mind or what we really were doing.
This is what I heard you say. Well, this is what I meant.
Right. That's right. And so if they would just take the time to share more details about whatever it is that they are concerned about right then and there, then they can put those issues behind them and move on. And so we really enjoy putting on a presentation on communication. Towards the very end of our pre-Cana seminar, we then bring in various couples to do a personal couple reflection. And so they will share with those couples that are engaged, present for the pre-Cana seminar, examples of what they have experienced in their lives. Oftentimes, these are couples who had no marriage preparation, okay, before they received the sacrament of holy matrimony. And they'll share with them about all the difficult issues that they faced because they weren't properly prepared before they were married. And they'll explain to them that life could have been a lot better in their early years of marriage had they actually stopped and spent some time preparing themselves for this. There's one couple that talks about how you would never go on a week-long camping trip without preparing, okay, without having food, clothing, the right shoes, checking the weather report, all those kinds of things. And yet other people will enter into the sacrament of marriage, which is for a lifetime, and did absolutely nothing. Right.
They just felt that huge emotion of love.
Yes.
And were, like you said, maybe physically attracted to the other person.
Right.
And they never really had in-depth conversations about just life.
That's right. That's right. And we have another couple who defines that very well. They confused love with lust. Okay. And so as a result, they just jumped into marriage. And then they realized that 6 months later,
this was not what they wanted or expected.
Right. That's right. Not at all. Not at all.
So let me ask you, I know at one point the statistics were 50-50. Have they, in terms of people that are divorcing, is that number slowly rising?
I understand for non-Catholics that the number has risen to about 55%, but it's still at about 50 for us. And we're hoping that, of course, we can bring that down to zero someday. But we can only do it by spreading the word that marriage preparation is available in the Diocese of Corpus Christi and to be encouraging our couples who are looking forward to being married someday in the church to actually come forward and register for these programs. They can go to their priest or their deacon in their parish or a sponsor couple, or they can come to the chancery and get information from the Office of Family Life and be signed up and prepared for this beautiful sacrament.
Thank you so much, Deacon Ron, for being with us, and I pray that the Engaged Encounters and the Brucanos continue to take off.
Thank you very much.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org. Or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's sacred moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
There is no denying that we live in difficult times. Ask anyone you know, and they can recite a litany of what is wrong with the world. In fact, they can tell you what's wrong with our country. The answers you get will be as different as the people you ask. For some, it's the economy. For others, it's Democrats and Republicans, the haves or have-nots, medical care, or Social Security. The list goes on and on. All of it can sometimes beat us down and cause us to question if anything really matters. We start giving in on things we used to believe were important, but now we're not so sure. We start to go along with the majority, voting for the most popular candidate, even when we know deep in our hearts that there might be someone else who's better. We begin to doubt what we once believed. We begin to seek to please ourselves and we turn to those things that we think will bring us happiness. But they always leave us thirsting for more. It begins to seem as if God doesn't care. Being tired and discouraged makes it easy to want to quit, easy to give up trying to live a righteous life. Keeping our faith and trusting in God when we're surrounded by suffering and poverty is hard. Sometimes it doesn't seem to make any sense. We wonder, what's the use of fighting it? Everybody else does it. Does it really matter what I do? And yet God has not given up on us. These times of discouragement are the times when we need to turn to Him with even greater prayer, like the widow in Scripture who was seeking justice before the dishonest judge. We have to be persistent in our prayers. God is always present, ready to lift us up, to redirect our steps, and draw us nearer to Him. He promises to renew our hearts, to give us natural hearts. This means that He will remove the stones that hard living has filled our hearts with and that prevent us from knowing peace or from having hope. The psalmist knew this well, and through his words invites us to call upon God, to invite Him to step in and give us direction. Listen to the words. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is You who know my ways. You are my refuge. Rescue me. Jesus goes even further and tells us, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. We hear these words echoed in the words of so many popular songs, such as You Raise Me Up, when it says, when I am down and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until You come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. I am strong when I am on Your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. When everything around us becomes dark and dreary, that is the time for our faith to shine the brightest, the time for us to call upon God with renewed vigor. Let us dwell upon the promises He has given us, and may your sacred moments lead you to that place where Jesus raises you up, gives you rest, and rescues you. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Deacon Ron Martinez, who is the Diocesan Coordinator for Engaged Encounter and Pre-Cana. If you would like more information about these pre-marriage seminars, please call him at 361-765-1124. We look forward to you joining us.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.